last days, the last hours of your life? Would you go experience a country that you've never been to before? Would you go do your hobby or something that you're very passionate about one last time? Would you surround yourself with those who you love, those who are closest to you? Most of us would do something we wanted to do. We might call it something off of our bucket list. And rightfully so, because it is our life that is coming to an end. But when we see Jesus, He gave Himself for us that we might be free from sin and have life with God. I want us to look for just a few moments this morning at the last hours of Jesus' life and to see the way in which He gave Himself for us. We focus what He did near His death. We see Jesus in the upper room. During this Passover meal, this meal that He earnestly desired to eat with His disciples, He takes the time to wash His disciples' feet. He gets down on hands and knees. And He doesn't skip over Judas, the one that He knows is about to betray Him, yet He's washing His feet. He takes the time to warn Peter about his arrogance and cautions him about the night's events that are to come. He warns Peter of his denial. He says, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but I pray for you that when you turn again, you'll strengthen your brother." He's about to die, but Jesus spends a great deal of time comforting His disciples about His departure. He tells them what to expect, that they're going to be cast out of the synagogue. And He spends time telling them of the Comforter that is going to come, not for Himself, but for them. We see Jesus in the garden. In the midst of praying to the Father about His own fears, Jesus knows His desires are not of ultimate importance. He realizes that there is something much greater than Himself. And He says, "Not my will, but Father, your will be done." Think about that just for a moment. That there is something greater than God in the flesh. Can there be something greater than that? Jesus saw that. Alone and longing for someone to just share in His sorrows with Him, He comes to His disciples and they're asleep. And He wakes them up. And He says, "Keep watching and praying." But He doesn't say, "So that I won't enter into temptation." He says, "So that you won't enter into temptation." When the soldiers come and arrest Him, He stops everything to heal a slave's fear. Now think about what is going on here at this moment. He is about to lose, if we could say, the faith of His trusted men. They're going to scatter. Peter's there, and this is where we see him. He's going to be the one who's going to stand firm. He says, "I'll die for you, Lord." And he swings his sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. Think about it, it's just an ear. I mean, we don't know the severity of the cut, but it's very possible that if just the ear was cut off, the slave could have gone on living without the ear. But this is the time where we would say, if we were in that position, I'm focused on me. And Jesus picks up the ear and he heals Malchus. In all of these things, we see Jesus is focused on someone else. We see Jesus at his trial. He's been falsely accused. He's been spit upon. He's been publicly humiliated. He had every right to be indignant because his rights were violated. Yet when he heard the rooster crow the second time, Jesus looked at Peter. Probably, I assume, a look of disappointment, but yet still a look of love. A look that would drive Peter to sorrow and repentance. In all this, Jesus' focus was upon others. He continued to care for others despite that in just a few short hours, his life was coming to an end. We see Jesus on the road to Golgotha. At this point, he had already had multiple beatings. He's been spit at in his face. He's been slapped in his face. And he has just endured a Roman scourging. His back, we might say, is ripped to shreds. Blood has been pouring out of him. He's probably suffering from quite a bit of blood loss right now. And the crown of thorns, those thorns are embedded in his head. Blood streaming down. I don't know, but I wonder, you know, sometimes when we're greatly distressed or we've got a problem, sometimes you can even feel your heartbeat in your head. I wonder if that was what was happening with Christ. And we see that now he is called upon to bear his own cross. Can you imagine as he takes up that beam and the weight of it is on his back? Those wood splinters would have ignited again all of his nerves and all of the pain that would have come from that scourging. Jesus doesn't have the strength to carry his cross anymore. And so Simon of Cyrene is forced into service to carry it for him. The pain must have been so intense that if we were there, we would have been just focusing to try and put one foot in front of the other because the pain would overwhelm us. But I want you to see what Jesus does. He's still focused on others. A group of women are there mourning and lamenting him now. And he told the women to weep for themselves. In Luke 23, verse 28, beginning, says, "But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. And they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us. Do the hills cover us? For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?'" finally, we turn to when Jesus is on the cross. You got 6 hours left to live. All of us, I think, at some point in time, will begin to think about ourselves. Not Jesus. Hanging on the cross, when every breath is precious, when every word is agonizing. Can you just imagine yourself just picture Jesus hanging on the cross. And he's pushing himself up to just get a breath. Wouldn't you sort of just keep that for yourself? Not him. He continues to focus on others with his words. He's concerned for the spiritual well-being of those who have put him on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To the thief that at first is casting the same insults as the rest of the crowd, but then this thief begins to see the innocence of Jesus, and he says, Jesus, will you please remember me when you come in your kingdom? To him, Jesus says, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. To Mary, his mother, Jesus focused on her well-being. It says, when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And then to the Father and to all mankind, to all those who had sinned and to all who would sin, Jesus focused on them and he said, it is finished. He had accomplished God's plan to redeem man from sin. He had done his part. But he's saying, I'm focused on you. I'm thinking of you even up to my last breath. We say it's nothing short of remarkable to look at how Jesus faced the last hours of his life. A life designed to bring him to this point, to bring him to death. He knew he was going to face it. And he had every right to focus on himself. But everything he said and did had someone else as its focus. He came to give life. That's what he came. Now is our opportunity to focus not upon ourselves, but our Savior. To focus on his love and his selflessness. To focus on what he has given up so that we might have life, so that we might have that relationship with God. This isn't something that we should just be doing for the next 10 minutes. This goes beyond these walls. This goes out into our everyday life. Do we focus on Christ so much so that our lives are a reflection of him? To not see ourselves, but to see him in the words we say, to see him in the things that we do. You see, he gave himself up for us so that we might give ourselves to him. Let us think upon these things this morning as we commune with our Lord.